Welcome back to the Jeff Fuller Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning, or what's left of this Friday morning. Text line, if you want to still get in, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, it's been a little bit, but our returning champion joins us on the line, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. I'm doing well. Sorry we missed last week. Glad to be back with you.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. We always appreciate it. Well, I mean, it's been a busy week. First off, we'll start with, we'll get into the State Senate here in just a moment. Let's start with the three-judge panel and their reaction and with the injunction that I think will be stayed. But why are these federal judges seemingly at war with the Alabama legislature?
You know, that's a really good question. And we tried to show them as much deference as possible, be reasonable with them, and again, respect their branch of government, right? I just don't think they're showing us a whole lot of respect. And at the end of the day, I think that the, you know, that what we'll end up seeing is a, you know, a stay from the U.S. Supreme Court saying, no, they've passed a map, used the map that the legislature passed. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see. And I really do think that their decision on the State Senate, which we'll talk to you about when you're ready, but that kind of paves the way, I think, to say they see what's happening here. Y'all are making too big a deal out of this. And so I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court will have that response for us here, you know, probably early next week, and we'll be back to doing what we should have done the whole time, which is use the maps that the Alabama legislature drew.
Matt, that preliminary injunction and some of the verbiage in that and you know, in that document, very derogatory toward you guys. That the insinuation here, my takeaway is that you know Governor Ivey calls you down to the State House and y'all get to work on that racist map, and I mean it presupposes that you guys woke up that morning and said we're gonna draw a racist map. That's their takeaway, and I don't know how they come to that conclusion.
We drew a map based on politics. There's not anybody in the Alabama legislature that's a racist anymore. Sorry, it's not the case. We drew that map based on politics, and the Supreme Court specifically said that was an okay thing to do. And so I think that when the Supreme Court gets this case and reviews that, then we will be vindicated in our decision. But anybody that says that I or any of my colleagues is a racist is wrong. I get to work with my colleagues, whether they're nice to me or not, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, day in, day out. We care about their issues. We are respectful about their issues. But at the end of the day, this is about politics. This is shirts and skins. This is R's and D's. This is not who's a racist. And I take offense to anybody that says anything other than that.
Well, and that's my next question, because, I mean, maybe I missed it. But does it seem like there was any due process here for them to come to that conclusion regarding our current state government? Sure, you could go back to 1965. I'm sure that you could make that case. We haven't adjudicated this. We haven't gone through the proper due process to determine their conclusions about what your motivations are.
Absolutely not. And I'd like for them, although I'm not sure they'd be welcome at this point, but I'd like for them to come see us at work. I'd like for them to see us work together. Because we do just that. We work together. And sometimes, you know, y'all, the talk show folks and radio hosts don't like how much we work together. But we do. And we respect each other, and we show each other deference. And it is a collaborative effort a lot of times. Sometimes they win. Sometimes they don't. But that's a numbers thing, and it's a politics thing. And that's exactly what's going on here. This is not anybody being anything other than trying to make sure their team scores the most points. This is not racist. It's far from it. And it's just, I think it's small-minded to blame blame where we are in Alabama on that.
Well, another theory of mine, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with race or, you know, if African-American voters in Alabama voted Republican, we're probably not having this discussion right now. But B, on the other side of that equation, that their motivations aren't necessarily pure either, that they're not trying to be this benevolent protector of, a race-free society, that they have very partisan motivations trying to maintain Democrat-controlled districts.
Absolutely. And to their credit, they are intellectually honest about that, right? We want the Democrats to be in control, and our side wants the Republicans to be in control. They're using whatever tools they've got in their toolbox to try to advance their agenda, and I don't blame them for that. Just don't blame me when we try the exact same thing the other way. And it's not, again, it is so intellectually dishonest to say every black person is going to vote, Democrat, and every white person is going to vote Republican, and that somehow or another, the color of your skin dictates that. How offensive is that? To my colleagues like Kenneth Pascal in the House, who is a Republican, votes Republican. I work great with him. He's black. Why should your skin color be, govern how you think? That is just so wrongheaded today. And I'm glad we're getting away from it. I'm glad the Supreme Court has finally decided that that's not how we're going to do things in Alabama.
But that's also this, let's just say that you're okay with it, that a community of interest can be based on color, even though the Supreme Court says no. But what they have essentially done is they've taken like a community of interest, Mobile, Alabama, that celebrates Mardi Gras together, that works at the same place, they shop at the same places, they go to the school together, they go to church together. It is a community of interest. There are common threads through that community that make it Mobile. But they said, but we see color trumping all that. We see skin color. And they have drawn the maps accordingly to say every other community of interest variable is secondary to skin color. And I think that is, that is bottom line unconstitutional.
It is. And the Supreme Court has said that, right? They have said that what the court did in Alabama was discount every goal of the legislature, right? Protecting incumbents, keeping together communities of interest, right? All of those things, took all of that and put it behind skin color. And I guess, my issue is and continues to be, you've got, all these white judges up here saying, no, skin color is what governs. That's the most important thing anymore. And can we not get past that and get back to talking about ideas? Get back to talking about, what's important for Alabama and the best way for Alabama to grow and prosper. All of us. And instead they have hitched their argument and really decided that at the end of the day, they think that skin color governs everything. And I don't see that. I don't see that with my colleagues that I serve with. I don't see that in the people that I know, and I think it's the judges that are backwards and behind.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Real quick, one more question on this. So you guys in the special session set up a special election. If for whatever reason the Supreme Court doesn't find in your favor and you have to go back to the 5-2 map, the special election is still on, right?
It's got to be. I mean, it really does have to be. It seems like a waste, and it's the court putting us in that position, certainly. But coming out and telling the voters, hey, you're going to vote for a congressman, but it's not going to count, and then somehow or another, thinking you're going to go back and count those votes after you've told everybody, via state law, by the way, that it's not going to count, that's a hard argument to make, and I don't think one that's tolerable. And so if the... if the court sticks with its injunction, then I think we still have to run the special election just with some goofy maps that they made up on their own back in the
National. There's no turning back to May 19th. I mean, you are running, if you're candidate 1, 2, 6, or 7, you are running in the August 11th special election, and that will determine the nominee.
That's correct. And then, of course, on the state Senate side of things, you've got, a similar thing where you've made these guys qualify and run in a district that's no longer valid. I mean, look, this is an example for political science students, right, like myself, to go back and look at. This is not how it's supposed to work. This is the antithesis of how the branches of government are supposed to treat each other, because it causes confusion and instability in institutions that we should have confidence in. And that's just unfortunate.
I mean, look, there were sins in Alabama's past. That's undeniable. But in 2026, there's this sort of cottage industry, Mark Elias, Eric Holders. Mm-hmm. This is how they make their living. They wait for every census, and they wait for every reapportionment, and they just go. They're going to sue on grounds, regardless of whatever map that you guys draw, because this is how they make their living. And finally, with Louisiana, they're taking one of those options, one of those grounds for lawsuits, off the table. I mean, that's sort of the flaw in the system, that we're always in this perpetual litigation, and that these guys, they're incentivized to always raise this litigation.
You're absolutely right. And it's something that we've struggled with in Alabama. How do we do what we know is right versus how do we figure out a way to placate those folks, right, that make their living doing this? And at the end of the day, the Supreme Court has straightened all of this out, thankfully, and said, quit looking at race. Quit it. And so I don't know how the 11th Circuit thinks that when the Supreme Court says stop looking at race, that they can base everything they're looking on race. That's just wrong.
Yeah. So here we are, the state Senate map, and things just kind of go back to, well, they go to the 2021 map, but it's the same map that currently that Senator Barfoot, Senator Hatcher are serving, generally speaking, right?
Exactly. I mean, it is their district. It's the district they're currently serving. And that was the argument I made when I was passing the bill. And everybody said, isn't this going to cause, you know, confusion? I went, why? Senator Hatcher is currently serving in his district. Senator Barfoot is currently serving in his district. The only confusion is that y'all are changing things midstream and awfully close to an election. It's nuts. You know, and I was proud to carry that piece of legislation, get it across the line. I'm glad the courts have upheld it, and they'll have to rerun and, you know, requalify in their own districts and back on the ballot, you know, in August. But the absurdity of all of this is what happened when the court accepted a map from a teenager, right? And that was that Senator Barfoot qualified to run in Senator Hatcher's district, and Senator Hatcher decided to run in Senator Barfoot's district. What was accomplished? What goal was accomplished there? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, except for confusing voters and causing the state to jump through a bunch of hoops to get right back to parity. And that doesn't make any sense. Just a waste.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. One question not really related to any of this redistricting stuff. We've had, you know, a little while since the Tuesday or the primary election, Democrat turnout, particularly in Madison County. Are you guys worried a little bit here? I mean, statewide, Republicans should be fine, but there are a lot of localities where Democrats far, far outpaced Republicans. And I look at that and I see, I don't know if this enthusiasm hangs out all the way to November, but I could see that being a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that we have an ideological problem there. I still think Republicans are strong in Alabama. I think we have an enthusiasm problem, and it is going to be incumbent upon, you know, office holders like myself, but party officials too, to understand why is that? Why are our Republicans not turning out? The Democrats are turning out, but what are we doing that is not resonating with Republicans, you know, up and down the ticket? And that's a problem. And we're going to have to figure out what that is. But it is a concerning trend. It is something we absolutely need to focus on. I mean, look, Republicans, again, dominated and will continue to dominate, and will continue to dominate statewide offices. We'll continue to hold our supermajorities in the House and the Senate. But we're foolish if we don't understand, you know, what's going on in the electorate right now and the enthusiasm gap that we're seeing in the numbers.
Well, it's you know, it's the all politics, I guess, in Alabama is national. And what's going on nationally is kind of dragging down, I think, Republicans in some places.
I think so, too. And I think we can blame some of it on that. But at the end of the day, I think there's some local issues, too. And we saw it in Senator Jones's race and some others. You know, we've got to we've got to pay attention to what's going on there. And I'm really curious to see with this independent candidate how that's going to play in Senator Jones's district as well. I think there's going to be a race there. And so, you know, I've offered to Senator Jones to help him come up there and campaign for him. He's done good work for the state. And we'll work hard to make sure that those incumbents get back in office.
Senator Williams, appreciate your time. Stay safe, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much for having me, buddy.
All right, State Senator Chris Elliott. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Jesus.